Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us on this beautiful Monday. It's the year 2021. We put 2020 behind us, but the remnants of it seem to follow us, so hopefully that won't last very long. It was back in 2012. I've never really done this before, but I'm going to quote Barack Obama. He said basically that it would be almost impossible to steal a presidential election since there are so many counties, so many precincts, so many independent local election superintendents. Well, that sounds reasonable, but what if? Is it possible that a very sophisticated, methodical targeting of certain counties and precincts across the country, or in selected states rather, could change it? Blue counties become a little bit bluer and red counties become a little bit redder in order to manipulate an election without anybody maybe noticing. Our guest this morning, State Senator Bill Heath, and it should be noted that the state legislature has been working on election integrity for a couple of years now. Good morning, Senator Heath.
Good morning, Steve.
Glad to have you with us.
It's always fun to be with you.
Absolutely.
On the radio.
On the radio. Thank you. Everybody qualifies that. Anyway, Bill Heath was elected to the House in 2003. I was there, I remember. And then he ran for the Senate in 2005, where he served until 2020 and has decided not to run again.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. What I'd like to do this morning is you sat on the Judiciary Committee and the Government Oversight Committee. So you've sat through hours and hours of testimony regarding the election, alleged election fraud. And for those of us who didn't have the time, energy, or desire to watch that stuff, hopefully you can give us some real knowledgeable insight. So I'd like to go through some of the issues at hand, and then toward the last segment of the program, maybe really get your thoughts and conclusions. The most famous, I would call it that, infamous video that we've all seen is the State Farm Arena, where basically it seemed like around 10:30 or so, everybody was run out of the building there, allegedly a water main break. And then we saw the boxes come out from under the table. And we saw the lady in the back of the video who seemingly was re-scanning the same ballots. So what did testimony show regarding the State Farm Arena situation?
Well, we certainly saw pieces of that video. I think the whole video was there. We just didn't have 12 hours to watch every minute of it. But the video definitely looked incriminating. The problem, Steve, is that, you know, you got to, you make an allegation based on the information that you have, and then you need to prove it out. And no one has proven that out. I mean, it does look bad. I was fighting mad whenever I saw that take place. I'd heard about it, and then there's the video. I mean, you can see it with your own eyes. It didn't look good. you know, but you have no audio. You really can't tell what was going on there. I would love to have gone down to State Farm Arena, looked at the room, to see what you could actually see from where and where the cameras were and what, you know, what was the layout? What did all this really look like? But we weren't able to do that. But the video did look incriminating as far as folks going home, pulling ballots out from under the desk. I mean, you know, the Bible says to avoid the appearance of evil. And I think that election officials need to avoid the appearance of evil. I mean, they need to operate in the open. And if there was a misunderstanding and people thought that they needed to go home and it was all done and they went home and you wanted to continue, then you need to get them back in there before you start. You know, don't create this situation. Now, I don't trust Fulton County. And let me be clear about that.
So give us a little more detail, because it was reported that those so-called boxes, ballot boxes, whatever, under the table, which were allegedly put there that morning, were they actually ballots? I mean, What did y'all learn about that, or did y'all learn, really?
I don't think that we really learned. Now, there was testimony from a lady who was processing ballots, and I can't remember which place she was at, that some of the ballots had a different feel about them. They didn't look the same. Some didn't have creases in them.
Right. I heard about the crease thing.
I wish that we could have dug into that more deeply. The problem the legislature has is we could not subpoena witnesses, nor could we put them under oath. So anybody could come to a committee meeting and say anything they wanted to say.
Well, let me ask you this, still on Fulton County. I understand there were, again, I'm not a student of this, and this is why I appreciate you being in so that we can maybe delve a little deeper. I understand there were 5 appeals that were rejected by Fulton County to verify the votes. They didn't want to go back and verify them. Now, is that true, or did you hear that part of it in testimony?
I think you're referring to that was not a part of our testimony.
Okay.
I think you're referring to being rejected by the courts.
Okay.
Not necessarily Fulton County. Fulton County did not appear to be cooperative at all as far as providing evidence and supporting information. You know, we tried to get them to a government oversight committee meeting, and the commission chairman showed up, and a personnel person, public affairs person, you know. We didn't get the election officials there. We tried to get DeKalb County there. We tried to get Muskogee County there. Admittedly, this was during a period of time when there was a lot of pressure on those folks, but I think it would have served them and the people well if they could have come and testified for us. But.
Okay, let me move to the next one. I think this is probably even as, if not more significant, and I'm not a student of this, but we heard a lot about the settlement agreement or the consent agreement, that it was unconstitutional, the one that Raffensperger made with the Democratic, I think, election, whatever it is, and Stacey Abrams. And the question was, why did not Kemp and Raffensperger appeal that decision to a higher court? And it seemed like they were just trying to accommodate or to go along to get along. What was the basically you're thinking about the ramifications of this consent agreement, and was it constitutional or not, because it didn't involve the state legislature?
I can't really speak to, you know, with confidence about the constitutionality.
Okay.
Secretary Raffensperger's and or his team said that by signing the consent order, they were able to limit, that they were afraid they were going to end up in court and end up having to accept ballots for an extended period of time after the election.
Like Pennsylvania.
Right, and they didn't want to end up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I really feel like that Secretary Raffensperger has done the best he could given this situation. Look, the legislature could have stayed that, I suppose. You know, if we'd engaged early on, said, "Hey, whoa, you can't be signing consent agreements. That's our domain. So we're going to reconvene ourselves and deal with this issue." You know, we could have done that. But in elections, you need to get everything right before the election. You can't. It's like making rules for a ball game in the middle of a ball game. You just can't do that.
Well, now, wasn't this really kind of open the door because of this consent agreement? Now, understand that about 25% of the votes could be mail-in ballots. There wasn't signature verification. Didn't it start with this? Did your committee hearings indicate it, the problem really kind of started here?
I think there are certain groups who have taken advantage of this no excuse absentee ballot process. And Steve, I remember, as you mentioned earlier, you know, I took office in 2003, And I served one term in the House in the minority. Senate was Republican, the House was Democrat. The next year, the next election, that flipped. And we as Republicans started changing election laws, supposedly to make it easy for the working person to vote, easier for the working person to vote. Well, what we did is we made it easier for people who do nothing to vote. And I think that's worth revisiting. But, I mean, look, this is just kind of played out, and they've taken advantage of it. Today, I mean, you know, the minority, maybe the majority in D.C. now has exploited this, and they've gone out and worked it on a one-on-one basis. I mean, you got churches that are telling their church members to, you know, come in, we'll all fill out absentee ballot requests and then bring them in as an act of worship, and we'll vote those. I mean, that's never been done in the past that I know of, and is enabled by the absentee ballot process.
Our guest this morning is State Senator Bill Heath. We're taking a closer look at the issues regarding election integrity for this past presidential election, as Bill has sat on Judiciary Committee and Government Oversight Committee hearings these past several weeks. We'll be back with more. We're on WLBB 106.3, 1330, and also Facebook Live. We'll be back with more after this.
At Oak Mountain Academy, our academic excellence shines through innovation and a personalized educational experience. From pre-K 3 through 12th grade, our school encompasses a family-oriented atmosphere. Our faith-based value system works as a foundation for supporting our honor code, while our academic standards prepare our students for college and beyond. I'm Patrick Uran, headmaster, inviting you to join us for our virtual admissions open house on Thursday, January 28th at 9 a.m. Register today at oakmountain.us.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. Strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Radick, your host. Delighted to have you with us this morning. We're honored to have in studio, I guess I should say, former state senator.
Not yet. I got an hour and 20 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we got current state senator. When's the session start?
Is it 10 a.m.?
10 a.m.?
Today.
Oh, wow. Okay. If you want to make any, you know, late-breaking news comments that reveal anything now that you're not going back in, don't hesitate. This is the place to do it. But yeah. But regardless, we are trying to get in there a little deeper into the issues regarding election fraud and alleged election fraud, and the fact that you said in all these committee hearings. Okay, kind of sticking with specific questions. Why didn't the legislature approve these drop boxes? I mean, that would seem like those things allegedly contributed to fraud.
You say, why did we?
Why did you not? Or did you? Did y'all approve these drop boxes? I think Carroll County had two. But, you know, these, I think you call them drop boxes.
Right. And if I look, Steve, you know, some of this is details.
Right.
I think we did approve them. They were supposed to be under 24-hour surveillance, again, along the same lines of, you know, let's make it as easy as possible for people to vote. And, you know, some people work long hours. They're not in town during the daylight. Of course, you can mail them in, and I'm not sure what the difference is in mailing it and putting it in a drop box. Probably less accountability with mail than the drop box.
Okay, looking at a couple of comments, like I said at the beginning, election integrity in the state House and the state Senate has been an issue for many years and will continue to be so. Even we ran a cut with Tyler Paul Smith this morning, say that was one of his top, if not his top priority to work on. So this election's may be over, but this issue is going to be with us for time to
come. Yeah, I don't think this is over.
Yeah, these issues are not going away, so we might as well just acknowledge that. All right, the big issue regarding Dominion machines, were they hackable? I understand we had a lawyer in your committee saying that he had hacked into it successfully. What's the?
I did not hear him say that.
Okay.
You know, there. I don't think it was a lawyer that said that. It was a technology guy that came in there, and he talked about the software was available online, open source. When you know, Steve, I've been involved in software and computers most of my adult life, and so I looked for that, and there was lots of open source software there by the same company, but I cannot tell you that I found voting machine software.
Okay.
Look, you can't. Oh, if they put one of those machines out here and said, "Okay, hackers, have at it. Let's see what you can do," or if you provide the source code to quote prove that it's not hackable, what you've done is made the system more vulnerable. So, you know, it's a balancing act. I don't totally trust all this, but I didn't see the evidence that proves that these machines are hackable. You know, there was allegations that they're online.
Right.
I don't think the voting machine's online. I think the poll pad, the device, when you walk in and you say, "Hey, I'm here to vote," and they take your driver's license and they scan it or type in your information and verify that you haven't voted somewhere else, or all those things are online because you may have dropped an absentee ballot in the mail yesterday and it arrived. You know, that has to be real time. So I think that part is online, but I don't think the voting machines are online. But I stand to be corrected if somebody can show me that. But what I saw in the committee hearings was a lot of talk about a lot of things that didn't look good, but they weren't necessarily factual. There was a lady who had pictures of ballots being shredded in Cobb County. And I said, are you sure there's ballots in those bins? And she said, yeah, and I got a picture to prove it. And she handed out where she had zoomed in. And it says official absentee ballot. And the next line said, must be enclosed in this envelope.
So those were envelopes.
There were envelopes. It was right. The plain old vanilla envelope. This is the inner envelope. But, you know, I don't think she was necessarily trying to be deceitful, but her testimony confused a lot of people.
It's been alleged that that we had 10.3 thousand ballots that were dead people. Did you hear anything about that?
Yes, I did. I don't remember the numbers. look, those are, that's just data. Okay. You can verify that. I think it's $10,000 for, you know, knowingly, intentionally voting a fraudulent ballot. If you can prove those and find out who did it, you ought to go after them. I don't think there's ever been an election that was perfect. Okay. I mean, I think there's going to be some dead people who vote. There's going to be somebody who legitimately requested an absentee ballot and maybe filled it out, but didn't drop it back in the mail. Then Papa died.
Right.
And they dropped it in the mail. You know, that's illegal too.
I know how Papa wanted to vote.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some of that's going to go on. But the problem is once you accept a ballot, you can't unaccept it. We can't go pull those ballots back out. That's what I said before. You got to set the rules and play by the rules all the way through the election and not be changing it during the election.
Understand 2.5 thousand felons allegedly voted in Georgia, which is illegal.
And it is illegal.
Well, did it happen or did the testimony show that?
I can't. That was... That was alleged in our committees.
But not shown.
But not shown. Mm. You know, I want to believe them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think some of that is explainable. If you were just convicted and you've, you know, maybe you hadn't gotten all the way into the database as being ineligible to vote, and you go vote, and then, you know, some of it could be a timing thing. But, again, we don't know how those people voted. I think I know some felons that voted, that would have voted for Trump if they could.
Yeah. Okay. Let's, we're going to run out of time, and I want to get kind of your overall thoughts. Let's talk about, we mentioned earlier, you know, if we had photo ID in every instance, then it would seem like a lot of these issues would have gone away, correct?
Would be much more secure.
Much more secure. So is that where you think the state legislature will go going forward?
I hope that they address that. You know, I don't know why, but as a Republican, we have had this has been difficult ground for us.
Sure.
The Democrats have fought us on identification, and I don't really understand that. I mean, but that has been an issue. I don't know that it'll be any better now, but maybe Republicans will act more like Republicans and do what's right, but even under pressure.
In my opening statement, I talked about making the red a little redder and the blue a little bluer, and there was alleged that Bibb County, for instance, had this weird automatic, it seemed like automatic, but dramatic flip of votes. Did that ever come up? Do you remember that?
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
I think it was like, it was one way this way, and then almost immediately it switched.
Oh, as the votes were coming in?
Yeah.
If I heard that, I would say that could certainly happen. Depends right. on which order you're running precincts in.
Okay. All right. Allegedly, 4,500 people who were not on the voter rolls. Have you heard that?
4.5 people voted.
No, 4,500 people were not on the voter rolls who voted.
Don't know that I have heard that.
Is there was there other testimony that was predominant in your mind that I'm not aware of? I didn't watch all that much of it. That one issue that really stuck out to you?
Well, one that had a lot of look. I don't think that the hearings that we had, Judiciary Hearing Committee committee hearings that we had, I would not call them hearings. In my view, a hearing is I want to hear from both sides of the issue. We never heard from the opposing side. But, you know, we had a guy come there that said that the barcodes on the ballot indicated whether or not it was a Republican ballot or a Democrat ballot, and so they could flip votes. Well, Steve, that's just not the case. I mean, he showed the printer index marks on there in the front and the back of the ballot not being lined up exactly right. I mean, there's been so many conspiracies thrown out there that are not provable. And frankly, the conservative talk show hosts have just gone crazy with this stuff, and they've perpetuated it and have gotten a lot of people worked up over things that's just not true.
All right. Well, we're going to come back with your conclusions and your observations on this. But first, let's take a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. Strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices, with the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. #WeAreTannerStrong. That's Tanner.org. #WeAreTannerStrong.
At Oak Mountain Academy, we are a family creating legacies. The Fortner family shares. OMA has assisted us in providing our three children with a solid educational foundation and a love of learning. The Academy has done so with an emphasis on building a strong inner character. We would love to share more with you about our school community and how you can become a part of this legacy. I'm Patrick Urien, headmaster, inviting you to join us for our virtual admissions open house on Thursday, January 28th at 9 a.m. Register today at oakmountain.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Greddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us. We're talking with State Senator Bill Heath, District 31, who will be out of office in approximately 65 minutes.
Something like that.
Anyway, he served on the Judiciary Committee and the Government Oversight Committee in the State Senate, who heard all the testimony regarding the alleged election fraud in the presidential race. And it's election integrity is an issue before the state legislature, has been for a couple of years and will continue to be, particularly in this next session. So we were looking at a lot of these issues specifically, and that most of us don't have time to keep up with it. With all that said, what's your final observations and conclusions? I'll just ask it directly. In Georgia, do you think the presidential race was stolen?
I can't say that I think the presidential race was stolen. I think that we, as Republicans, we got perhaps got outworked, outmaneuvered. We knew the Democrats were working very hard. They had gotten this hint that, you know, Georgia's turning colors a bit, and they. Look, there were some big money folks that invested huge dollars in Georgia, and we got snookered. I mean, I think whoever's in power gets a little bit lazy; they take it for granted. And we got outworked and outmaneuvered, and I think that's what happened. I'm not saying mark it off as a loss and move on. I think we need to investigate as best as possible. And if there was fraud, I think we ought to go after anybody that acted fraudulently in the election.
Well, what would you like to see the state legislature do going forward on this? Because obviously this is not being dropped in terms of forget the previous two elections. It's just a matter of voter integrity and those who want to feel like their vote has counted as one single vote.
Yeah, I think that's reestablishing confidence in the voter, and Steve, as you said, you know, I've been involved in as a candidate for 20 years. I have sensed a lack of confidence in elections forever. I mean, even when I was a newbie getting started, everybody's like, "Oh, this will be stolen from you. There's no way this will work." And I don't know how much all that really happens, but the people have got to trust that when you vote, that your vote counts, and that it's not going to be manipulated. And the legislature needs to do any and everything they can to establish that confidence and to create that level of security.
Very important for the Republic.
It's very important for everybody. That's what this country was founded on. But you know, part of what this country.
So while it may be a difficult, contentious issue, it's still a very important one.
It's extremely important, and I think the legislature will work on it. I haven't seen the legislature do anything perfect in my lifetime. It seems to always be working to perfect it.
Yeah, you feel free to go out with a bang if you'd like.
Yeah, well, I just, you know, so, I've been a part of it. I can't blame anyone else.
Well, thank you for your almost 20 years of service, and it was an honor and a pleasure to cover you all these many
You've always done a
couple of decades, actually.
You've always done a good job. You and your radio stations have done a great job.
Well,
and
we try. We make missteps.
You know, I've had a lot of fun with you. I've known you about elections, but you've always treated me right, and I appreciate that. You guys provide a great service to the community.
We try. All right. Well, thank you, the Honorable Bill Heath, State Senator from the 31st District, at least now for 1 hour left. And we thank you for listening to the Community Voice here on WLBB Carrollton.